Right now, we welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson, joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Jacobson, good to see you back in the studio this morning, sir.
Hey, it's great to be back in the district.
Now, Senator Jacobson, back in the district, as you said a minute ago, had Friday off and today off, right?
Correct.
And adjourned early on Thursday, which that was a pleasant surprise on its own, right?
We usually count on that. I think it was around 3 o'clock when we adjourned on Thursday, and I had some appointments to take care of in Lincoln on Friday, so I didn't get back here until yesterday, and so I went down the farm for a while on Saturday, and I still have all my fingers and toes and no band-aids.
That's a victory.
That's a good thing.
That's exactly right.
That's a victory in its own, right?
That's exactly right.
Now, Senator Jacobson, it was a busy week for you and your colleagues last week, but as you predicted on the air with us last Monday, the filibuster has changed a little bit. It's still going on, but it's diminished, I guess you could say.
Well, it gets sidetracked a little bit. You know, what really happens is we got into some really meaty debate that would generally require some degree of discussion. And so then you kind of went away from filibuster mode to really real debate mode. And people say, well, gee, what's the difference? Well, the difference is look at how many people are in the chamber when there's a full-on filibuster and how many people are in the chamber when we're actually having productive debate.
Let me guess.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. There's several under the balcony, but you know, we try to monitor. We try to keep enough people there so that there's no shenanigans pulled, you know, a motion to recess or a motion to adjourn or something crazy like that. But for the most part, you know, people are in their offices working and monitoring it on TV and having their staff watch that piece and getting some other work done. For me, for the most part, I continue to try to stay at my desk and I just take work to the floor, and that way I'm there. And even though my office is close by, it works well just to remain on the floor and be there in case something does come up.
Yeah, and you do some multitasking, like you said. While you're on the legislative floor, you're checking a lot of emails, you're responding to some of those, doing some homework research, and still while engaging with other senators, engaging on the mic when need be, and of course, voting.
Yeah, and I think that's key. To me, as you guys well know, I don't make it a point to spend a lot of time on the mic. I try to avoid speaking out unless there's something I have to say. And what I've kind of found is that when you do it that way, people tend to listen to you when you do get on the mic. There are those, and you can probably name two right off the top of your head that when they get up on the mic, you just quit listening, you know, because there's nothing productive being
said. I would
said.
Imagine that everybody, when those two people get up to speak, everybody else is like the old Charlie Brown shows where the adults talked and it was just wah, 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 wah. That's about what comes through.
That's exactly the case. And, of course, a lot of times you'll hear the background noise will get a little loud, and then you'll hear one of them ask for a gavel and so that they can gavel down the and get everybody to quiet down and quit talking so much. But it's very clear what's happening. I guess if you really watch and you see some of the hypocrisy that goes on there, there's this tendency to, as an example, when you do a call of the House, okay, when someone does a call of the House, you have to vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the majority of those present is what it takes to have a successful call of the House. Well, it's expected that you would vote for a call of the House. It's the respectful thing to do. But this year, we've had several times when one of those two senators has had a call of the House, one in particular, and they haven't got the call of the House. And, of course, that sets her off and starts telling everybody how disrespectful that they haven't respected the call of the House. And it's like, well, but here's the reason we didn't. The reason we didn't vote for a call of the House is because it's a vote that is it's simply a wasting time. When you do a call of the House and you're in the middle of a filibuster, if you do a call of the House and everybody stands down and we have to wait for everyone to get there, so we'll burn, you know, 10 minutes waiting to get everybody back to the floor. It's just a way to further waste time. The other thing that gets frustrating is when you get done and you have a vote and the vote loses 47 to nothing, and then you turn around and you file a motion to reconsider the vote we just took.
Oh, but you have to be present, not voting, in order to file that motion, too, I've learned recently.
That's exactly right. Yeah, so So you always know the cue's coming. You go down through the call of the House. Well, you do a call of the House. Then you ask for a roll call vote as opposed to a machine vote, because a roll call vote takes more time because you got to go down through the list and ask everybody to vote. And then that's when you say you're present not voting. And then because you're present not voting, then you can ask to have the vote reconsidered. And then that gives you the opportunity to do a 10-minute open, speak twice for 5 minutes, and do a 5-minute close. And so all of those things just burn time, and that's what you use to burn time.
Quite honestly, Senator Jacobson, it is odd to see a call of the House not be respected, because historically in the legislature, when there's a request for a call of the House, everybody votes green on it for the most part.
That's exactly right.
So that tells you a lot, I think, about the session.
Well, it does, and I am concerned. I truly am, and I appreciate the Speaker's concern. I know that we get a lot of emails. I get a lot of calls from people. Why aren't we shutting this down? I'll be honest with you. I probably would have taken steps by now if I were in the Speaker's role to move this differently. I think that there certainly are rules within our rule book that allow us to do that. But Speaker Arch is wanting to go the extra mile to not, if you will, break the institution. And he wants to give every opportunity for us to follow historical protocol, even though we're in very uncharted territory. As you all know, when Ernie Chambers was down there, Ernie Chambers would get off on these filibusters and he would waste a lot of time. But with Ernie Chambers, he would come in, do his deal, maybe burn a day, and then the next day he wouldn't show up, and then a lot of work would get done. And generally, Ernie Chambers had something he wanted, and he would go make it clear as to what he wanted, and usually it was some bill that he wanted done, and they would work on that, and they'd get it done, then he'd go away, and he wouldn't bother again. But when you come in with the idea that you want the Speaker to either the introducer of a bill or the Speaker to pull that bill and not hear it, is really inappropriate. I mean, everybody has a right to bring their bills. They go through committee. If the committee votes it to the floor, then the bill deserves to get heard, and then that's what we vote about. And you can do your 8 hours of filibuster on that particular bill. But when you take the position that because of that one bill, I'm now going to filibuster every bill brought by every senator on every issue, and so you've even got colleagues on her political party that have really bills that are just should be almost consent calendar bills, and they're being filibustered. That's just never been done before. And quite honestly, I think there's clear latitude within the rules to when someone gets up and pre-announces that here's how I'm going to waste the time, I'm going to call for this motion, do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Those are clearly dilatory and could be ruled out of order. I shouldn't say should, could be ruled out of order. And I'd also say that in the filibuster rules, there are the rules for cloture. I shouldn't say there's filibuster rules. In the rules for cloture, there's no longer... there's no requirement that we go 8 hours in general file, 4 hours on select, and 2 hours on final. It's just how we've always done it. But that has been removed from the rules a few years ago. So it's just simply once you've reached full and fair debate. In my opinion, once a senator has spoken and there's only one or two senators in the queue and they're simply staying completely off topic and they're telling you they're doing it and stating that they're doing it to waste time, at that point I would think that we've got full and fair debate. I would entertain a motion for cloture and move to cloture.
Yep.
And I think if we did that, that alone could be done with the existing rules. So I know Senator Erdman has, there was a headline in the paper that he, and I was on the floor when he made the comment that he is the Rules Committee Chair, that he's going to bring a bunch of rules, we're going to rewrite the rule book. Well, he really kind of said that more out of frustration. The truth is that changing the rules are very, very difficult. So I don't see that happening. I'm not saying they won't meet and try to propose some rules changes, but it's not going to happen this session, and it's going to be hard to get done next session. I do expect, however, that the Speaker will take a different approach next session and the back half of the session, and he's going to he's going to probably re-look at the time for cloture and when full and fair debate is going to be achieved.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. And Senator, last week was a busy week like we were talking about, too. It was a very high week for you as a co-sponsor of Senator Tom Brewer's constitutional carry bill that somewhat surprisingly not only had enough votes for cloture, but passed and now heads to the governor's desk after a very lengthy battle for Senator Brewer.
Well, it really was, and as many of you know, that the Senator Brewer's priority bill, every year he's been down there, and this is his seventh year. So 7 years he's been bringing this same bill, trying to get it past the finish line, and he always seems to end up one vote short. A year ago, it was a situation where Senator Pauls had passed away during the session, and so the vote came up, and we were short that vote. We always had something that got us one vote, got him one vote away.
Freak circumstances, quite honestly.
They really were. And this year, it was kind of interesting because Senator Wayne and Senator McKinney, who had pledged to vote for the bill, miraculously had conflicts in Omaha that morning and weren't able to be there before the vote. And Senator Brewer was really nervous about it, and he had another chemo treatment that morning, and he wasn't feeling that well to begin with, and I think he was really stressed out about where we're going to get the votes. But he was fortunate that we needed 33 for cloture. We got 33 votes for cloture. And then, interestingly enough, we got 33 votes for the bill. So no one fell off. There wasn't anybody saying, I'm going to give you a cloture vote, but I'm not going to support the bill. So he got to 33 votes without Wayne and McKinney. Part of that was really due to our new state senator who replaced Suzanne Geist, and that would be Carolyn Bossen. And Senator Bossen is a young prosecutor, has a very young family. She came in, she was appointed by Governor Pillen to replace Senator Geist when she decided to resign, and right after the Lincoln mayoral primary, and devote full-time to the mayoral election. Frankly, Senator Geist, I think, was present not voting on LB-77 the first time around, because of she was running in Lincoln, and I think there were several in Lincoln that were not supportive of LB-77. So this gave Senator Brewer a solid vote there, which may have made the difference. And
sure.
So this time the freak circumstances kind of worked in his favor. And Senator Bossen was very good about them. She made some a couple of speeches. She is, like I said, a former prosecutor, fairly articulate, and I think will be a good replacement for Senator Geist.
And also a replacement for Senator Geist last week, being selected among your current colleagues for head of the committee that Senator Geist had chaired.
What happened there, Carolyn was appointed to the Transportation and Telecommunications Committee, mm-hmm. and then we did a vote then to select the replacement chair for the committee.
The new committee chair.
Senator Mike Mosier was the vice chair of the committee, and so then he was elected by a fairly large majority to take over as chair for the remainder of the session, and this year and next. And so that was not a huge surprise, although he was challenged for that. But he did, I think, get 28 of the 49 votes, and you need 25 to be elected.
I've noticed he's a very level-headed individual, which, as you know better than I do, Senator James, and will serve him well as a committee chair, but he's very well-spoken as well.
Mike Mosier, Senator Mosier, was the mayor of Columbus. He's actually got a music store and fairly musically inclined in Columbus as well. Has some good experience and has been serving on the TNT committee. And so, I think he'll do a good job.
Senator Jacobson, elsewhere in the Nebraska legislature, there was another package that advanced last week for the Business and Labor Committee, right?
Yes. And there again, this was one of those bills that had a lot of bills inside the bill. And what's really happening in the legislature right now is that normally you'd have your individual senator priority bills, which would be one individual bill. The committees would bring, they'd bring a priority bill, and then generally they would bring one Christmas tree bill, which would be, would have maybe four or five bills, maybe six bills in it. Generally never more than six bills. And those bills would all be kind of in the same area, generally the same statutes that were being impacted. This year, we kind of took the gloves off, and because of the constant filibuster, what's happening is the Speaker is allowing multiple bills to be put into these Christmas trees. When I say multiple, we're talking 20, 25 bills. I think the TNT bill, I think, had 16 bills in it.
Oh, wow.
And that's a little bit challenging, and it's something we need to be aware of, is that, and it does concern me a little bit, is that if we spend most of our time wasting time filibustering, then we don't really get into the meat of those individual bills. And then when we get to cloture, we invoke cloture, and we vote on the entire package of all the bills. And a lot of those bills really never got much discussion other than the fact that they came out of committee. And those that are going into the packages are generally bills that had generally unanimous support in committee or very close to unanimous support in committee and very little, if any, opposition. But it still concerns me that we've got really a lot of bills that are being passed that many of us don't know what a lot of the detail is in them. So a lot of the time I'm spending on the floor is really digging through those individual bills that make up those Christmas trees and really kind of understanding what's in it. So if you see me with a laptop, I'm digging through, reading the bills, seeing what's inside it. And then I may have some questions, and I may not do it on the mic, but I'm going to be getting to other senators who brought those bills to really understand, okay, what's this doing? Why are we doing this? Then if I've got concern, I'm going to get up and say something.
And speaking of the Christmas tree bills, the committee that you serve as the vice chair on, Senator Jacobson, the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee, had one pass that was somewhat similar with a lot of Christmas tree bills early last week as well, I believe.
That's correct. And so we have moved our, and I might add that the Speaker is only going to allow one of the committee priorities to be heard. And so our committee priority from Banking, Commerce, and Insurance was heard last week, and it was passed. It was filibustered, and we all got up and spoke about the individual bills that we had in it. And I did have one of my bills was part of that Christmas tree package that did pass last week. As we move forward, I've got bills, micro-TIF, for example, in the mayoral voting bill, that's going to be in LB 531, which is a Urban Affairs Committee priority bill. That seems to be fast-tracking. It's on select file now, and so I expect that to get to the finish line. It does have some spending measures that include some spending in North and East Omaha. So we've got to watch what that dollar amount is. I have spoken to the governor prior to moving my bills into it to understand whether or not he was going to fill or if he would be vetoing that bill. He's indicated as long as they keep the dollar amount under a certain level, he won't veto the bill. There's a number of senators that have priority that have their priority in that bill. So my guess is it will get the votes to get to the finish line. And that's why I'm going ahead and putting my priorities into it as well, because that bill should get to the finish line.
Is there any timeline on when your bills might be heard in these Christmas tree bills, Senator Jacobson?
It's really up to Speaker to schedule, and so you just have to make sure that the Speaker continues to schedule these bills, and you get them scheduled to where you can get through the rounds. And, of course, if you're on general file, you got 8 hours of filibuster. If your bill hasn't been heard on general, it may not. Those on select only have 4 hours to filibuster. If you already got it kicked to final, then you got a pretty good chance that those will get heard because the filibuster time will be pretty short. And quite frankly, they've tended to not filibuster the bills that are on final, other than LB 77 was, and obviously 626, once it gets to final, it will be filibustered as well. But that's only 2 hours.
Well, we do need to wrap up here in a minute or two, Senator Jacobson. But looking ahead for this week, what's it look like for you and your colleagues when you reconvene tomorrow morning?
Well, tomorrow morning we're going to pick up the E15 ethanol bill, and then there's some other cleanup. LB 626, which is the The heartbeat bill will be heard on Thursday on select file, so that will be a fairly lively discussion as well. And then as we get into the next week, when we get into week of May 2nd, that's when we're going to get the budget delivered, and then we're going to get into budget debate. And we'll probably spend a significant amount of time then just talking budget.
Oh, sure.
And no other bills will really be heard. Hey, I do want to mention one other thing, too, while I'm here this morning. It's in my article in the paper this week, but LB 588 is a bill that was introduced by Senator Anna Wishart. It had to do with medical cannabis. And I've been hearing from constituents. I mean, we've been getting phone calls and emails and from people, both pro and con. They've been getting these flyers in the mail from a company we think out of Virginia.
Oh, contact your senator.
And many of them are now saying, contact me with my office phone number to weigh in on this medical cannabis bill. And it's like, well, first of all, it's stuck in committee and it's not coming out. So this isn't even going to get heard this year. So I know my staff is saying we're being bombarded with this stuff. And it's like, where's this coming from? Because this bill's not going to get heard. I don't even know the details of the bill, nor am I going to bother digging into the details at this point. Because until a bill gets out of committee and gets to the floor, I don't spend a lot of time looking at it. Because
that'd take a lot of time if you did that for all those bills.
Well, there's 812 bills, yeah. And so why would you waste your time looking at bills that aren't going anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
So stop the phone calls. Well, yeah, I mean, you could call, but I mean, I'm just telling you, I haven't taken a position on the bill other than the fact that I'm adamantly opposed to recreational marijuana. I'll consider medical marijuana under certain conditions, but I've got to see the details of a bill, not the bill that's introduced, but the final, before I'd really know where I would be on that. And this year, that's just not going to happen. So.
Well, and sometimes those flyers are good to have for some politicians that maybe aren't as accessible as you and your office, but you put out your phone number during the campaign, you made rounds during the campaign, you're accessible, so your constituents can reach out to you with any issue at any point.
I just have a base objection against Virginia trying to influence Nebraska. Stay the hell out.
Yeah.
It's not your state.
Some of this stuff comes from Virginia. There's also a place out of Texas that's also the origin of some of these flyers. And then, initially I was getting them. There were some flyers being sent. I don't think I got them in my district, but others are complaining that there was a bill that Senator Rob Dover had introduced that was to extend term limits to three terms.
Sure.
And everybody was getting those, they were pretty cutting, pretty aggressive flyers that were out there. And it's like, well, I don't know that they came in this district. And there again, that's a bill that's not probably going to get out of committee this year. So I don't know that I paid too much attention to it.
Senator Jacobson, if there's any of your District 42 constituents that didn't get a flyer, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, if you didn't get the flyer, you can call me at 402-471-2729 or M. Jacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov, and we'll get your email. And by the way, during the filibusters, that gives you more time to respond to emails. And so,
the grass is always greener, right, Senator?
It is.
Somewhere.
Positive way to look at it, though. Senator Jacobson, we appreciate the time as always. Safe travels back down to Lincoln, and good luck this week.
Hey, thank you very much.